Okay, well, let's turn our Bibles to the book of Romans. We'll be looking at Romans chapter 4, verses 1 through 12 this morning. In Romans chapter 4, starting with verse 1. What then shall we say that Abraham our father discovered in this matter? If in fact Abraham was justified by works, he had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now, when a man works, his wages are not credited to him as a gift, but as an obligation. However, to the man who does not work, but trusts God, who justifies the wicked, his faith is credited as righteousness. David says the same thing when he speaks of the blessedness of the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will never count against him. Is this blessedness only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? We have been saying that Abraham's faith was credited to him as righteousness. Under what circumstances was it credited? Was it after he was circumcised or before? It was not after, but before. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. So then, he is the father of all who believe but have not been circumcised in order that righteousness might be credited to them, and he is also the father of the circumcised, who not only are circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that we can take it out and read it at will, that we have it available to us to comfort, guide, teach, and correct us. And Lord, we ask right now you would send your Holy Spirit just to teach us from your word. Lord, that each one of us here would be encouraged by what you have for us this day. Lord, help us to be children of the promise. The promise that Abraham believed, and by believing, you credited to him as righteousness. We believe in you, in your work, in your promise, what you have done. And might we receive that righteousness for ourselves. May we be comforted by it and know the truth. Lord, I pray in particular for myself that as I preach this morning, the words I speak would bring encouragement and strength to those who need encouragement and to those who are weak. And Lord, that just identified all of us. So encourage us all this day, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. The story of Abraham. One of the things that we often forget about Abraham is he was old. How many of you remember how old Abram was when he received the call to leave his home and go find this place that God's taking him to? How many of you, anybody here can remember how old Abram was? He was 75 years old when he got that call. 75. Yes, I am. I read it in Scripture. 75. Now, granted, Abraham was not your average guy, but 75 is going to pack up everything and take off, and we're going to go and do what it is God is telling us to do. And God promised him as he went out that he's going to make him a father of nations. Well, we get somewhere on down the road, and you know, Abraham was 75 when he received the promise that he's going to be a father of nations. He's going, okay, God, you can do this. Now he goes another 5 years, 6 years, 8 years, somewhere in that range, down the road, and he's saying, you know, I'm getting old. My wife, she's getting old too. And he begins to question this promise. And God talks to him again. In Exodus chapter 15. And I was only going to read a little bit, but I'm going to read a little bit more than I was, so just bear with me here. Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your very great reward. But Abram said, O sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be heir. Then the Lord came to him. This man will not be your heir, but a son coming from your own body will be your heir. He took him outside and said, look up at the heavens and count the stars. If indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abraham believed the Lord, and he credited it to him as righteousness. He was in his 80s. And he's believing, okay, God's going to do this. Now, this is a promise which God had already given him once. Told him it's going to happen. And down the road, he's beginning to doubt, you know, God, I'm getting old, I'm going to die. The guy who's going to inherit is my servant. I mean, just before this, he'd been in a battle. He'd led people, his followers, to rescue his nephew Lot and others. So he wasn't leading an easy life standing back. He was out there doing stuff. He said, you know, I could have died. This promise wouldn't have happened. So he goes, and a couple more years go by, and he and his wife were talking, and they say, well, you've been promised this. Maybe we need to do our own thing here in order for, you know, we need to help God to bring children. Sarah tells Abram, you know what? Take my maid as your wife, and you know, you can start, you can fulfill the promise through her. I can have children through my maid. That's what Sarah says. Well, this turns out to be not such a great idea. As we are still reaping the repercussions of this, it's called the Middle East. Because Ishmael was born off Hera, the maid of Abram. And 13 years later, when Abram is 99, God comes to him and tells him he's going to change his name to Abraham. And Ishmael is not the child of the promise, but that the child of the promise shall come from the body of his wife, Sarah. Well, Sarai, whose name has now been changed to Sarah, and Abram's name has been changed to Abraham, meaning mother and father of nations. And this is the picture, the story. Abram believed, and it was credited to him. And years down the road, he's still believing, but instead of seeking after God on what to do, he starts to do his own thing. But God calls him back and then pronounces, "You will have a child." Sarah laughs. She says, "Yeah, right. I'm going to be the mother at my advanced ages." She was in her 90s. He was 99. It's like, okay. God says, "I will do this thing," and he did it. "I'll call you'll name your son Isaac," which means laughter. Because that is a joke. I'm 44. I have the thought of having children, having a baby, of Donna and I having a child, frightens me to death. If that such a thing was to occur, I go, "Oh." No, that, oh, no. I couldn't hardly do it when I was 21, taking care of the kids, having the energy and all that takes. But here, this is what happens. Now, why am I going on and on about this? We're supposed to be in Romans. But you see, Romans is talking about, Paul is showing that Abraham's belief was credited to him as righteousness. And that it was 13 years after, at least, 14 years, I'm getting my years mixed up here, but it was a minimum of 14 years, possibly a couple more, from the time he received that promise until he received the sign of the promise, circumcision. And he was 100 years old when the promise itself was fulfilled, the promise which he had originally received when he was 75. It was 25 years from the fulfillment of the first step of the promise. Because Isaac was just one son, and he was told he would be the father of so many that it would be like the stars in the sky. It would be father through his children. They would raise up nations. And that is true. That is exactly what God has done. We look at Northbrook. God, I believe, has promised us that He is going to do amazing things here. That He is going to raise up this church. And we say, "Okay, God, when's it going to happen?" We're getting too few, you know, too much farther here, and we're not going to be able to keep the lights on. Well, you see, it never counts on us anyways. This is God's church. It's not our church. And God will bring it in His timing, just as He reduced Gideon's army down to such a few numbers so that God would be the one who received the glory and not the numbers of soldiers. God will do this, or looks to be doing the same thing here. And it's based upon what? Belief. God says, "Do it," and we say, "Okay." And we believe that He's going to do it. And we seek to follow His will. That was what was credited to him as righteousness. Believing on the work that God said He would do, which He has done in Jesus. God said He would bring salvation, that He would restore His people to a right relationship with Him. That was the promise. It was fulfilled in the work of Jesus on the cross. circumcision. There were those who were running around telling the Gentiles, if you're not circumcised, you're not saved. You haven't done the work you need to do to get saved. There is no work we need to do to get saved. Paul is telling us, aside from believing on the work that Jesus did. And that circumcision? Abraham, the father. Father Abraham had many sons, right? How many of you know that's at least that part of the song? Whom do the Arab people claim as their father? Abraham. Who do the Jews claim as their father? Abraham. Who is their father? Abraham. So if Abraham is their father, then they're saved. No. What we're going to see next week, it's going to get more into the fact that salvation isn't based upon genetics. Who is our father genetically, but who is our father spiritually? And Abraham is the father of all who would believe, circumcised or uncircumcised. And you remember, Ishmael was circumcised at the age of 13. So he was circumcised. And the Jews weren't saying that these guys are saved. No. The issue here is we had people who were trying to distract followers from the message. Message of the gospel. That salvation is through Jesus Christ, through believing on the work that He did. That our righteousness comes from Him. Our righteousness doesn't come from ourselves, the works that we do, because we can't ever do enough to get there. We saw that in the previous chapters. But we see here that belief, God credits us with righteousness, His righteousness. Now, it's not belief in anything. I could believe, I'm going to win the lottery. Well, that ain't going to happen for at least two reasons. One is I don't play it. But two, just the long odds. But some people have this firm belief that they're going to win, and they play. And somebody does win, eventually. But of everybody out there, there's only one winner out of and millions of losers, but how many have faith that they're going to win? See, that belief wasn't enough, because what they're believing in really one out of millions. The belief that we have here in Christ is for everybody. Everybody believes. All who believe are credited with righteousness. All. Because the object, it all has to do with the object of our faith. I can believe that this microphone is going to make me sing beautifully. And Ross will tell you, I can't hold a tune to save my life. Amen, Ayad. I heard that, brother. It's true. I am never going to have a recording contract with any of the major record labels. I know it shatters what you think of me, but I have to face that fact. That no matter how much faith I have in this microphone, it's just not going to improve my voice. Or Mike back there on the soundboard, he's going to tweak it and adjust it such that it comes out right. That's just not possible. The object of my faith for salvation needs to be Christ. I could believe Buddha. I could believe Prophet Muhammad. I could believe the moon and the stars. But those objects of faith are like Linus and the Great Pumpkin. It's not going to do it. Because there is only one object of faith which grants us righteousness, and that is Christ. That is God. God credited Abraham's belief in God. And when I say that, I'm not saying any God. I am talking the God of creation. The God who went to the cross. The God who rose again and provides everlasting life for all who will believe. You see, our belief in Him is credited as righteousness. Our belief in other stuff doesn't get us that. As far as I know, it doesn't get us anything. I don't know what it does. It might make us feel good. But end result is it does not provide anything. It is only the righteousness that comes from God that is of any use to us. Because our own righteousness is nothing. And belief in anything else will not bring us righteousness. Like Linus, it will usually just bring us a poor night's sleep out in the pumpkin patch. If you remember the old Charles Schultz cartoons. Abraham was justified by faith. The object of his faith is God. The object of our faith needs to be Christ. When we believe in Him and the work He has done, His righteousness is imputed upon us. And whether we have the physical sign is not anywhere near as important as whether we have received the spiritual truth. I can hang a sign around my neck that calls me a rock star, that calls me a hamburger. It wouldn't make me either one. But if I have received the righteousness of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is living in my heart and in my life, I am a child of God. I am a child of the promise. And if you have, so are you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are all we need for life eternal. That You have given us it all, and that by believing on You, You will grant us restoration and renewal and eternal life. Father, help us to be true children of the promise, by believing in You. Lord, You've told us that if we don't have faith, all we need to do is ask for it. So, Lord, we ask for that faith. Give us the faith to believe You so that we can receive the gift You have for us. For we know it's not by our works, but it's by Your work that we are saved. And, Lord, we know that it's not the outward appearance, which you are awfully concerned about, but our inward heart. So, Father, help us to have you in us so that you can live out through us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.